This morning, if you have a Bible, would you turn to Psalm 119? If you don't have a Bible, if you want to put your hands up and our ushers will place a Bible in your hands. Psalm 119. As you're turning there, I'm going to read a verse that's not Psalm 119. It says this, "Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching." As Paul, the apostle, was raising up Timothy, one of his children in the faith, and as Timothy was establishing what a healthy church would do and look like, this was Paul's instruction to Timothy: to devote to the public reading of Scripture and to teaching and exhortation. So for a little over 2 years now, whenever we have gathered together as Mercy Hill, we sing the word. My goal is never to sing what songs are popular. My goal is to sing whatever songs accord with Scripture that we might glorify God in the way that He's revealed Himself. Amen. So we sing biblically and theologically rich songs. That's the goal. Because God has spoken to us, let's sing and exhort and glorify Him according to how He's been revealed. We read Scripture, and then we preach Scripture, and we exhort one another in Scripture. And when necessary, we correct one another with Scripture. Why is it for 2.5 years, everything we do is read Scripture and saturate with Scripture and sing Scripture? What in the world is so important? It's because of authority and power. Like, the elder and the preacher has no authority apart from the authority of Scripture. As I stand before you and preach, my words have no power but for the power that's actually in the Word of God. The evangelist has no truth but for the word that he preaches comes from the truth of God's Word. You and I have no true exhortation that has any lasting eternal value but for our exhortation for one another comes from the Word of truth, because God's Word is power. Amen?
Amen.
So that's why in everything we do, we submit ourselves under the authority of God's Word. Every week, before we start our sermon, we actually read the passage that we're going to preach on. And today's going to be no different. Our psalm today that we're going to go through as we launch into this new series about the story of God's glory. We're starting in Psalm 119, and therefore, what's kind of different about today? If the power of God is in His Word, if the authority of God is in His Word, then let's not fail to read God's Word. Like, if His Word is actually what speaks to our souls for life and joy and hope and eternity, then let's exalt the thing that speaks. So today, instead of reading a short passage, what I want to do is together, we're just going to read all of Psalm 119. And then I'm going to have a few short words to say after as a smaller sermon than normal than I would preach. But let's let the word of power speak this morning. You guys with me?
Amen.
And here's how I want to do it. Let's see how uncomfortable we can make you guys. You guys don't want to hear me read 176 verses. That's for sure. We're going to read it together. We're going to start. I've asked Dan to start. We're going to read this by stanza. What do I mean by stanza? So if you look at Psalm 119, you see a central heading. Aleph is the first central heading. That's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Then there's 8 verses. That's one stanza. Then you see Bet. Bet is the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and that is 8 verses beyond that. That is one stanza. Y'all tracking with me? When you would come up to read, I'm going to ask, would you read one full stanza? You're going to read here at the mic so everybody can hear you. And once we're going to start, Dan's going to start us off with Aleph. Then we're going to start here at the front left, and we're just going to go across, and then back, and across. And if you're willing to stand up and read, I'm not going to force you. If you're willing, I'd love to have you stand up and read. If you're not, just tap the next person on the shoulder and they can come up and read. But let's try and, you know, we don't want 20-minute gaps in between people coming up. So let's read this together. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Come on.
So, Dan, would you come up and start this off and start us with Aleph and let's read God's word together.
In his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me.
How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandeth from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules. At all times you rebuke the insolent, accused ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies, even though princes sit plotting against me. Your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors.
My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I have told of my ways, you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. But put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart.
Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me your understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of commandments, and for I delight in it. Incline my heart to you, testimonies, and not to the selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things, and give me life in your ways. Confirm in your servant your promise, that you may be feared. I don't have my glasses. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for the rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts and your righteousness. Give me life.
Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings, and shall not be put to shame, for I find my delight in your commandments. which I love. I will lift up my hands towards your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes.
Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me, that I have kept your precepts.
The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think of my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments, though the cords of the wicked ensnare me. I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes.
You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord. According to your word, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver.
Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Let your mercy come to me that I may live. Let the insolent be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, that they may know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame.
My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke. Yet I have not forgotten your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? You have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All of your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad.
Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hands continually, and I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end.
I hate double-minded men, but I love your law. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. Sustain me according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Uphold me, and I will be delivered. I will always have regard for your decrees. You reject all who stray from your decrees. For your deceitfulness is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your statutes. My flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your laws.
I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Give your servants a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way.
Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts, and make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law.
Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because you, my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servants love it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteousness forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish are found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live.
I call with all my heart, answer me, O Lord, and I will obey your decrees. I call out to you, save me, and I will keep your statutes. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. Hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your laws. Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. Yet you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. Long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever.
Look on my suffering and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your law. Defend my cause and redeem me. Preserve my life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek out your decrees. Your compassion, Lord, is great. Preserve my life according to your laws. Many are the foes who persecute me, but I have not turned from your statutes. I look on the faithless with loathing, for they do not obey your word. See how I love your precepts. Preserve my life, Lord, in accordance with your love. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal.
Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life, O Lord, according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever.
Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice in your word like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Great peace that have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you.
And finally, Taw. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments.
Amen. Would you pray with me really quick? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that your word has power and accomplishes everything that you have set it to do. God, thank you for your abundant grace and your mercy. Thank you that we can gather together this morning and study your word. Lord, I pray that as we finish off our time, having now read your word, Lord, as we divide it for just a few moments, Holy Spirit, would you give us understanding? Thank you for your grace. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
We just read 176 verses of Scripture. Thank you. That blessed my soul just to hear God's word read in God's house. Makes me think back in the Old Testament in 2 Kings. This isn't in my notes, but like, if you've read 2 Kings and you get into, it's like chapter 26. The temple is being cleaned out and cleared up, and finally a righteous king has been over Judah again, and he comes in and he wants to follow the Lord, so he's getting rid of all of the idols, and he says, now go put the temple in order and get rid of the idols. And then one of the priests of the temple, in clearing things out, like starts rejoicing. He rejoices. He says, I found the book of the Lord. I don't think such sad words have ever been uttered in all of Scripture before or after that, because to find it means that it was what?
Lost.
That means there was a period in Israel where God's word, not only did it not reign, but they didn't even have a clue where it was. What a joy that we can come and read God's word, whether it's a hard copy, whether it's on your phone. Like, praise God that we have the blessing to study his word. Amen?
Amen.
Psalm 119, the psalm that we just read, is the longest chapter in the entire Bible. At 176 verses, it's longer than about 50% of books in the Bible. The entire psalm is devoted to one topic. Did you catch what it was as we read? It celebrates the glory of God's word. Like how mighty and how strong and how powerful and how effective and how active and how sharpening and how great this is. Like 176 verses devoted to celebrating what God has given us. Hallelujah. This psalm is written, I don't know if you know what an acrostic is. I can't stand poetry, so I only know this because I read the people who know this. But it's an acrostic. An acrostic is a poem that follows the alphabet. Somebody else who knows better might describe it differently. That's how I'm going to describe it. And so this psalm, actually every stanza goes from the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet all the way to the last letter. And when you start with Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, every line in that entire stanza actually starts in Hebrew with the letter Aleph. And then you go to Bet, and every line in Bet, all eight lines, start with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's just an amazing, wonderful poetic work. It's divided into 22 sections. Those correspond to the 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And every word, every syllable, every dot is devoted to exalting God's word. So normally when I preach, I usually have about two or three points that we tend to draw out of a text. Today, y'all ready to race? I got 22 points. Let's get going, because lunch is going to get cold, so I better go quick. I want to see, what does God's word say about itself? All right, so Aleph. Here's the first thing we see in this psalm as the psalmist exalts the glory of God's word. The word leads to the blessed life for those who prize and practice it. If you prize and practice God's word, it will lead you to what we would call the blessed life. Notice the number of phrases in this alone devoted to treasuring God's word. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the way of the word. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your man over and over and over. I will keep them. I will seek them. I will walk them out. I will keep them. I'll be steadfast. I'll fix my eyes. I'll keep your statutes. What is the psalmist getting at? Treasure God's word. Like in all things, in how you act, in how you think, in how you move, in how you breathe, in all things, treasure God's word up in here. And when you treasure it, you're going to have the blessed life. What's the blessed life? We've talked about this, I don't know, like a month and a half ago. And I know you guys remember every sermon I ever preached. But I'll explain it again just for your sake. The blessed life, man, we mix it up with the comfortable life. Like, the blessed life is not the comfortable life. The American life promotes the comfortable life. The blessed life is the life that is conformed and purified and corrected and trained to bear up the image of Christ. And sometimes, man, sometimes to be refined isn't comfortable. Sometimes to be corrected is not comfortable. When the Lord is undoing things in us that do not accord with His glory and His holiness, man, it can hurt, especially when those things are part of our identity. But here's what the psalmist says. Do you want to bear the image of Christ more in your life? Do you want to experience more of God's goodness and His glory? Do you want to be closer in relationship? Treasure and walk out His word. Prize it and practice it. Next, that was too long on Aleph. We still got 21 points. Bet. This is what we see in 8 verses. The pure life is life in the Word. Look at verse 9. He says, how can a young man keep his way pure? God, what is the path to purity? By guarding your way according to your Word. The exhortation is to guard your life. If you have to guard your life, that means there is a threat against your pure life. What's the threat against your pure life? Well, the first and hardest answer for us, the greatest threat to your purity is not the sin of other people against you. The greatest threat to your holiness before God is your sin before that holy God. Like, you are your greatest obstacle to overcome, not everybody around you. You. And so guard your way, the psalmist says. Do you want to be holy as he is holy? Do you want to be purified? Do you want to be refined so that in all your ways you reflect the glory of Jesus in a broken world that desperately needs to know him? Do you want to reflect the glory of God and radiate that glory? Guard your way against you. And not only you, there is a reality that the world threatens your purity. Listen, the culture we live in is an ever-changing and shifting culture of morality, isn't it? Like, what was considered moral 40 years ago is not considered moral today. What's moral today wasn't moral 300 years ago. Like, it shifts with the cultural winds. Do you want to know what does not shift? The very Word of God. Do you want to know how to live the righteous life? Do you want to know how to live purely? Do you want to know the way to live in holiness before God? Guard your way. Do you want to overcome the influence of the world? Y'all know you spend most of your waking hours in a sea of cultural activity that is telling you, do life our way, join us in how we do life. How do you overcome that? Guard your way by the Word of God. Like, you need to actually sit under the Word of God. Let's bet. So the psalmist says, guard your way. Seek him with your whole heart. This all comes out of this stanza. Store up his word in your heart. Learn as God's word teaches you. Recite the truth to yourself and in the hearing of others. Meditate on his word and delight in the goodness of his word. Do you want to know how to guard your way? Follow the path of the psalmist. Gemel. From Gemel, we learn that the word is revealed as an act of God's grace. Listen, one of the greatest books I've read, and I think that has probably been written on Hebrew prose, on Hebrew story and narrative. It's a book called The Art of Biblical Narrative, and it's written by a man named Robert Alistair. Robert Alistair, he's a graduate of Harvard and Columbia Universities. He's received honorary doctorates from Yale University and the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. And he's still, even in his 90s, he's a professor of comparative literature and Hebrew literature at the UC of Berkeley. Like, if anybody in this world has all of the credentials necessary to know what the Old Testament says, it's Robert Alistair. Like, that guy has more credentials behind him than nearly any other scholar. But do you know what Robert Alistair does not have? Submitted, believing, baptized faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not know the Lord. And you can ask, like, how does somebody who spent his entire life, his entire adult life from when he first stepped into college into his 90s, how does he pore over the Old Testament? How does he become the foremost scholar in Hebrew literature and yet not know Jesus? Psalm 119 tells us. Luke 24 also tells us. You see, in Luke 24, Jesus is raised from the dead. If you know the story of the gospel, Jesus died on the cross. He was buried dead for 3 days. He rose from the grave, proving that he has power over death and he has power to give life. And after he raised up in Luke chapter 24, he finds two of his disciples on a road to Emmaus. And he begins to teach them. And it says this in Luke chapter 24, that beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures, the things that were concerning himself. The Old Testament points to Jesus. Every word, every dot, every stroke points us to God's glory in the person of Christ. But it's not enough just to read it. You see, look, the world can look in and see that the Bible teaches a morality. Anybody who does not confess that Jesus is Lord can read Scripture and understand the history that comes out of it. Those things you can come to an understanding of with just human capacity. But what Luke 24 tells us is that after teaching his disciples on the Emmaus Road, this is what Luke 24 says, Jesus opened their minds so that they could understand. Knowledge of God is not revealed by human intellect. It's revealed only by divine providence. And God, in his goodness, did not just give us his word, but to those who say, Lord, would you teach me your truth? Our God is faithful to open up your mind and not simply see history, not simply see laws, not simply see a morality, but to see the God who designed it all. And that points you to Jesus. God reveals himself by the power of the Holy Spirit in his written world, or in his written word, and that's an act of his grace. It's an act of his grace that you have come to know Jesus if you know him as Lord and Savior. Why? Because it's him who must open your mind to understand and to see him in his word. Dalet. The next eight verses teach us that those who experience trouble in life will find strength in God's word. The psalmist, he starts crying out. He says, my soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. That's what he says, isn't it? My soul melts. If you've been following the reading plan this week in Job, you have seen a man who has totally melted before the Lord, right? Like, if you're following along, we've gotten through like Job 20, haven't we? Job 20, you've watched a man go from the pride of life down to the dust and nothingness and to be totally wrecked. And if there's one thing that we learn from Job, it's that trouble finds the righteous and the rebel alike, doesn't it? Like, if you've lived more than 5 minutes in this world, you know that the minute, or in your faith, you know that the minute you say yes to Jesus, your troubles don't end, do they?
No.
Like we still experience sorrow and suffering, and trouble still finds us out. And man, sometimes the troubles we experience in this life can empty us of our mental and our emotional and our spiritual and our physical strength. And all we can do is collapse in a ball and say, God, what is going on? Listen, the Word of God, which exposes the magnitude of God's grace and His mercy, that's the source of life and strength of a believer. I'm going to brag on my mother-in-law for just a minute. We were sitting at Hudson's birthday party yesterday and just talking through all of the scripture that she has memorized, that she has treasured up right here, so that in moments of feeling totally emptied of her own strength, she can cling to the Word of God and find the strength of God, not the strength of man, that will bear her up and strengthen her in any situation. Like, how are you doing treasuring God's Word to bear up you in strength? Verse 5, hey. These 8 verses, they teach us that the Word trains us for the marathon of righteous living. Listen, life is a marathon, not a sprint. Have you figured that one out yet? Like, if you want to succeed long-term in life, it is not a sprint. It's a marathon to live successfully in life. I try and tell that to Hudson all the time. Hudson, life is a marathon, not a sprint. Train yourself for the marathon, not for the sprint. You have to train for the long haul, for the long goal. Listen, if you know King Solomon in Scripture, he trained for the sprint, not for the marathon. King Solomon started so well. Do y'all remember? Like, God said to him, hey, pray for anything you want and I'll give it to you. And he could have prayed for riches and fame and wealth and power that the world had never seen before. But he doesn't pray for that. What's he pray for? He says, God, I just want understanding according to your word. And God says, well done. And because you have desired me more than the rest, I'll give you the rest too. What a great way to start as king over for God's special people, isn't it? And yet, by the end, Solomon had raised up children that he did not train up in the Lord. Solomon himself followed after the idols of his multiple wives that he took. You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 17, it actually specifically said, kings should not acquire for themselves many wives. What was the first thing Solomon did? Let me find as many foreign wives as I can. Scoop up some more power for me. Listen. He made a mess because he didn't train for the marathon. Over and over and over and over and over in Scripture, you see so many people who train for the sprint, not for the marathon. They start really well, but they fall off by the end. What the psalmist teaches us. Look, verse 33, he says, teach me. Verse 34, he says, give me understanding. 35, he's begging God, would you lead me? Verse 36, he says, God, would you incline my heart? Verse 37, Lord, would you turn my eyes? Verse 38, would you confirm your promises? Verse 39, take away my reproach, God. This psalm is filled with action, but it's not the psalmist's action, it's whose action? God, would you act on my behalf and teach me and train me and learn me and turn away? Would you do for me what I cannot do for myself? You know what the psalmist is asking God? He's saying, would you train me for the marathon so that I don't just start well, but I finish well? Do you want to live a good and righteous life before the Lord? Do you want to be spent for Jesus? When you arrive on heaven's doorstep, do you want to hear from the Lord, well done, good and faithful servant? Enter into my presence. Train for the marathon. Take up God's word. It is your teacher. Vav. I'm going to move a little faster on these. Vav. The love of God according to the word of God is our peace when we're accused. Have you ever felt accused by others? Have you ever felt beaten down and worn down? Have you ever felt attacked? The answer is yes, because you're human. Each of us has felt the brunt of another's sin. It's just part of the human experience. But the psalmist recognizes in Vav our comfort when the world rejects us. Our peace when we're persecuted is the love of God, which is unfolded on every single page of Scripture. Scripture drips with the comfort and the peace and the grace of God. Next one, Zayin. God's word comforts us. When sorrow strikes, God's promise is our comfort. That's what we see in verse 50, and then those eight verses kind of bear that out. What is there to comfort the believer in time of trouble and pain and suffering? The comfort is found in every promise of God, whose every promise is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Like God never fails a single promise. Number eight, het. The word of God satisfies. Run to it. Listen, it's easy to satisfy our appetites. It's easy to satisfy our bellies. It's easy to satisfy our eyes. You know what's really hard to satisfy, because there's only one thing that satisfies it? It's your soul. Like food will never satisfy your soul. The greatest vacation to the Cayman Islands will never satisfy your soul. You can get all of the physical rest in the world, but unless you satisfy your soul with the Word of God, you will never feel rest and comfort and peace. You will never feel the satisfaction that you were designed to have only in your Savior. And the psalmist says, it's yours. Take up the Word of God. Tet. The word turns affliction into adoration. In these eight verses, the psalmist decries how much he is afflicted, but he's not afflicted by men in this case. He's actually afflicted by God. And he actually says in verse 71, it was good that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Listen, when we're children, the discipline of our parents seems mean, doesn't it? Like no kid loves being grounded or spanked, or no kid ever loves to be punished. It's not like when they're getting spanked, thank you. Right? But every good father trains up his child. Do you know what God is in Scripture to you and I? A good, good father who trains up his children in the way that they should go. So when they are older, they might not depart from it. Like that's who God is. And sometimes the training up means the paring down of the things that actually separate you from Him. And when we see that God's affliction to us is not for our harm, but for our good and for our purity, we can turn back, thank you, Lord, for refining me and making me more like our Savior. And it turns to adoration. Let me give you just one or two more, and then we'll just bring this to a conclusion. I didn't expect I was going to make all 22. Yodin.
Can you send out the 22?
I will. I will. The word exposes the steadfast love of God. Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt isolated? Have you ever felt unlovable? Or rejected? Listen, 76 and 77 show us from the psalmist that the steadfast love of the Lord has never, never failed. Never. God's steadfast love is exposed throughout His Word, and it's exposed in the fulfillment of every promise. He promises to redeem, and He promises to reprove. As a good father, His love is unconditional, and His mercy is steadfast. And woven through every page of Scripture, you see God's love poured out to obstinate people who do not deserve it. How often did the people of Israel forsake God? How often did they reject Him? How often did they turn to other gods? How often have you turned to other things other than the Lord to satisfy your soul? How often have you turned inward and said, no, God, I am Lord of my life today. And yet, Scripture demonstrates on every page that God's love never fails, because His love is not based on who you are. His love is based on who He is. And for a God who never changes, then His love never has to change. And His grace and mercy and love and affection can be for you. Do you know where you find it? In His Word, where His promises are made. I will send out the rest of these if you're interested, if you're on the email list that I email each week.
Please.
Listen. Let me end our time this way. We're about to start a series, The Story of God's Glory. We're going to start in Genesis and go all the way to Revelation in the next year so that we might see the unfolding story of God's glory woven throughout history across the pages of Scripture. Do you want to know what this book, the number one thing this book is all about? Exposing God's glory. Revealing God to you and I and all of mankind so that we might come to know the goodness and glory of our Savior and that we might respond to His glory rightly. The whole purpose is to expose us to His glory. Why do we start this series in Psalm 119 as opposed to Genesis chapter 1? Why do we start in the middle of the Bible today instead of going to Genesis chapter 1 for our first sermon? It's because of what Psalm 119 teaches us. God's word is powerful. The Bible is the very word of God meant to reveal His glory and goodness and His character and His nature and His holiness to us and the wonder of His works. And when we read His story from Genesis to Revelation, what we find is the Word of God is the power of God for fullness, fruitfulness, and for life. Do you want to have a full and satisfied soul? Do you want to live a fruitful life? Do you want to actually have life and life to the fullest? Where do you find it? You find it in God's Word. How is that possible? How is it possible that God's Word can be power? How can ink and paper be so powerful? How can it give life? Isn't it just something printed at some book manufacturer? How is it that a book can hold such power? It's because John chapter 1 is true. In the Gospel of John, the opening words are, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." God is present in His Word. The very person of God. This is more than ink and paper. It is God Himself in some shape and form and capacity that He actually is present in these words. And the good news of John chapter 1 is that the Word did not stay far off, but verse 14 teaches us the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father who is full of grace and truth. The Word of God is Jesus, His Son, who is the impetus and power behind every word and syllable in this book. And if you have come to know Him as Lord and Savior, if you have surrendered your life to Him, you do have fullness. And you will have fruitfulness in life. And you will have life. So I hope you're going to join each week as we venture through the entire Bible and see God's story and His glory written on every single page. Brother and sister, cherish His Word because His Word is power. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word.